following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Pulse Gamecast at holosuitemedia.com. I'm your host, Gradle.
And I'm Jason.
This is the first show of the new year. Today's record date is Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock for Jason and I in the Central Standard Time Zone. As we do with every broadcast here in just a minute, we'll get started with what we've been doing gaming-wise. We have had a break. We had our last show before Christmas, so we've had a little bit going on. There's not a whole lot news-wise going on, but we'll get into it in just a second. Before we get going, I have to give a quick little shout out to my friend Greg. Greg, we cracked open the bottle tonight. Tracy and I did, and it is excellent as always. Thank you very much. So Jay, why don't we start with you? For the past 2 weeks, what have you been up to gaming-wise? What's been going on?
Well, I haven't gotten to crack open anything, Greg. Don't forget me next time. But things have been going pretty well. SWTOR for Christmas, although I did not do a whole lot of Wookiee Life Day. I kind of tossed that to the side, but I did play a little bit of SWTOR. Not a lot of flying, but I did some other stuff. I got a whole bunch of characters up. And a friend of mine, I'm really good buddies with, bought me a few Steam games that have definitely got me sidetracked. So I'm going to tell him thank you very much for endangering my marriage yet again. And I think he knows who he is. And I also played, believe it or not, I went retro and played some Dawn of War, the original Dawn of War. Made up some badges and some banners and did some painting of my guys and went through the old school stuff. And believe it or not, it's the first time it ever happened. I logged into the online game community for Dawn of War. Nobody was there because THQ's gone out of business and their servers weren't with them.
That's right. They have.
So no more Dawn of War unless you've got a direct LAN hookup. So, but it was fun while it lasted. But yeah, I was just jonesing for it. What about you?
Well, let's see here. What did I do? Like you, I didn't do a whole lot of SWTOR over the break. I did a little bit. I got my Slay 1 mount in SWTOR. I sat there for an hour and a half and threw snowballs until I got the parcels. That was tedious and horrific. Steam had a huge holiday sale. I did pick up a few things from Steam. Most of them were just little piddly time killer games like Tower Wars. That was okay. I played it for probably 2 hours, and that was enough. One thing I did pick up was Alan Wake. Have you ever played any of those games?
I saw them whenever they did when they first came out on Steam. They did a big production of them, and I think that was like what, two or three in a row.
Right. Yeah.
And they looked good, but I never checked them out. Were they good?
Well, I've only played so far the first one. I'm guessing it's the first game, and it's called just Alan Wake. It is good. It's a different kind of game than what I'm used to. It's a kind of an adventure slash action slash third person shooter. Now I've only played it honestly for maybe an hour. But I think I'm already hooked, and I was thinking about this today as to why I think I'm hooked on this already. This one, and like I said, this is the first Alan Wake game I've ever played. This may even be the first one, I don't know. It takes place in Washington State, apparently near Seattle, because the game starts off and you're on a ferry, and it's taking you to a little island, and if you're familiar with Seattle, that's the way it is. But once you get to the little town, it's, even though I'm guessing it's probably off of like the Puget Sound or something like that, because it's kind of a coastal fishing village looking place. Actually, what it reminded me of a lot was from the Secret World. It reminded me of Kingsmouth.
So it's not Bremerton and it's raining all the time.
Right, right. But it's a very creepy game. The game actually starts off with Alan. He's apparently a chronic insomniac, and who sleeps for like just 20-30 minutes at a time.
I can tell why you like him already.
But he actually goes into his nightmares, and that's where a lot of the game takes place. A lot of the game mechanics, the shooting, the interacting. So it's like you're playing almost a Stephen King novel. You're running around these creepy New England looking, even though it's in Washington State, villages. The nightmares are there. You're running. No matter how fast you run, you can't escape the guy. And that's what I loved about Kingsmouth and the Secret World. So I think I'm going to end up getting hooked
on
Alan Wake. It does. It seems real neat. There's some interesting mechanics. It has kind of a survival horror aspect to it as well. So I think it's going to be creepy but fun.
Well, as long as you don't run into any vampires with sparkly skin or Native American werewolves, right. You're in the Pacific Northwest. You never know, man.
Right. Well, now Alan is a horror writer, I think, along the lines of Stephen King or Dean Koontz, and apparently things from the novel that he hasn't written yet are popping up in the village, and that's what the gist of the story so far is.
Ah, no angst-ridden teenagers. Okay, well, good luck.
Right. Let's see. Also, if you've played Mass Effect 3, I've almost reached the end of the game, and this is where I always stop Mass Effect 3 because I hate the ending so much. So I got a wild hair, and I've actually reloaded Mass Effect 2 with all the DLC, and I've just recently started that playthrough. I'm kind of changing things up a little bit from my norm in that, and this is not a spoiler, so I don't want to hear it. The game's been out for like 3 or 4 years now, so I killed Ashley, and I saved Caden, which I always save Ashley. I don't know why, but I do. Saved Caden because I'm playing a Sentinel, which I never have done before. And Sentinels are biotic and also techie, but they also have the armor. So I feel I'll probably be okay and not need a soldier, which Ashley is, and I'll probably need more of the biotic support. Ergo, I saved Caden. Let's see. Also, I think that's probably most of what I've been doing gaming-wise. I can't think of anything else. Oh, I did buy another thing from Steam's big holiday sale, and I've only just kind of stuck my toe in the water on it.
Uh-huh.
Telltale Games, the company that did The Walking Dead and, the werewolf one, based on Fable. But anyways, they have a game called Poker Night, and this one is Poker Night 2.
Oh. And
have you seen it on Steam?
Yeah, I think I have. Go ahead.
But, It's poker, but it's from a first-person perspective. But what's really cool about it is they've brought in characters from other cartoons and games that you're playing against. So there's Brock Sampson from the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
There's Ash from the movie he was in of Darkness.
Evil Dead?
Evil Dead. Ash from Evil Dead, Sam from Sam and Max, and Claptrap.
King,
yeah, right. And Claptrap from Borderlands 2. So that's who you play against in this poker game. Now, the big pull of the game is that as you win money, apparently, you can buy in-game items, I know, for Team Fortress 2, which, you know, if you've listened to the show before, you know I'm a big player. I'm pushing 300 hours in the game, according to Raptor.
Wow.
So one of the things you can buy is Brock Sampson's mullet for your for the heavy in Team Fortress 2. There's also the Monarch's henchman costume pieces, the eyes, the wings, the shirt, stuff like that. That's the sole reason I got the game. That's the sole reason I'm playing it. I want that.
You're gonna look like Joe Dirt.
Yeah, well, if you've ever seen Brock, you know, it's really blonde, it's really curly. So I just want that on my heavy. All right, let's get started and move into news. I will lead us off with an update on the Knights of the Dinner Table, the KODT Kickstarter, the live-action web series slash movie they want to do. Let's see here. I'm looking at the page right now. Today, as of 11 after 7 Central, they have 357 backers. They are pledged for $24,055 out of $60,000. 29 days to go. I don't know. That doesn't seem good. Now, maybe a lot of people, I mean, I know it's right after Christmas. People are broke from buying gifts. I get it. So I'm hoping maybe around mid-January this will really pick up and we'll see a big upswing on the support. Again, as I've talked on previous shows, I'm a huge KODT fan. I really hope to see this one get made. Let's see here. Jason, you want to tell us about Steam and EA slash the Origin Store?
Oh, I'm sure everybody feeling it right now.
yeah.
They were hit by DDoS, or at least, you know, we know they were hit by an attack. I'm not going to lie to you, as a security professional, it's always easier for the higher-ups to claim it's one thing than to let out, hey, we are vulnerable to this, this, and this, and everybody please come after us. So I always view any public statement as, I don't know, salty at best. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, grain of salt.
Yeah, so basically what we're looking at here is Origin claims, and this is we basically right around the same time we had Steam, Valve and Origin all take hits, bam bam bam, and their services were all but brought to their knees. Now these kind of people, these infrastructures obviously have, you know, tons and tons of you know, redundancies on redundancies, but they just couldn't handle the load at the times that they were hit, you know. So I'm sure, like I said, everybody's feeling this, but I think a lot of people are saying a denial of service attack basically happens whenever you have tons and tons of traffic coming one way that never completes a handshake. So you get a handshake, somebody say, hey, I want to talk to you. And the other person says, yeah, sure, I'll talk to you. And then once you've completed the handshake, you have a stream of data passing to and for from, you know, two locations. Denial of service says, hey, I want to talk to you. And the other guy says, and then stops in the middle. And so there's a determinate time where you're supposed to sit there and wait. Well, if you have millions of these requests happening all at one time mm-hmm. from a bot network, that can bring a server down. And that's how a denial of service attack works. So basically what's happening here is what they're saying is that all of their servers, all their core services were all hit at one time. Now here's the reason I take it as with a grain of salt, and let me just throw that out there. Even I work for a university. Even we know after so many milliseconds, you know, you drop that thread if you haven't been talked to. So basically what would have had to have happened is hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of these bots would have had to go off simultaneously across the nation from multiple computers for this to happen. This is not something that could happen off, you know, 10 computers or 100 computers. This would have to happen off hundreds and hundreds of computers. Now, I'm not saying it didn't, but let's just say I have a claim. I think that this might have been a denial of service on one thing, but I think maybe their redundancies failed and they want to blame the whole thing on them. But in any case, what we're looking at here is, according to them, they posted pictures of the infamous low orbit ion cannon, the LOICDDS tool. That was pretty good, actually. That had some flair to it.
Yeah, they posted that on Twitter.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. But whoever did it, they did it at the right time, because you just couldn't have hit better than during the holiday season, whenever everybody's trying to have their sales and everybody's trying to get online and play what they've purchased. So, hey, man, everybody who does this hacker stuff, I love you, anonymous people, but seriously, dude, go do something constructive, please.
Yeah, I mean, take down Walmart's site or something, not Steam, not the service we're trying to log in and play all of our stuff on.
Really?
You know, speaking about you were saying the thousands of hits per millisecond or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that in my line of work, and I think you and I have talked about this. I had a SIP, a SIP service shut down for a PBX, a IP PBX, excuse me. And there again, you know, you guys listening obviously know that Jason's IT, and I'm not.
What?
Yeah, right. Duh, what? But
there goes my housewife cred.
But we've experienced that where one guy shut down our SIP service. It was 100,000 a second requests, but it did come from only one IP. Now, is that still possible to only come from the one computer and only the one IP?
It is, but nowadays we're, and I don't know when this happened, but we have intelligent services nowadays where if you have multiple attacks that quickly, it shuts down the IP address. Like there are a lot of people who use, let me just throw a big name out there. Let's see, Barricaded Networks has something, mm-hmm. SonicWall has something, yeah. And they're boxes that sit in, they act as a firewall, but you can actually just have boxes that sit in front of your firewall looking for these DDoS right. attacks. And basically all they do is blacklist that IP address instantly, which is why I'm under the assumption that we're talking megalithic 800-pound gorilla people like EA, Steam. We're not talking about one server. We're talking about, you know, 15, 20 servers minimum.
Yeah,
and we're talking
yeah.
about blade farms here. They had to have had some type of advance warning before it fell over to another redundancy, unless this was a really uber coordinated attack where they knew every one of the nodes and they used multiple bot farms, which I'm not sure if people understand what a bot farm is. Your computer could right now be infected with a bot, but it's not active. It's kind of sitting there like right. a dormant, malignant thing. And when someone sells that the access to that bot to a malicious entity, they can activate your computer and cause your computer to do something it's not really planned on doing. And basically, they're using your computer as a resource to do something bad, mm-hmm. which is why, you know, antivirus is so important, blah, blah, blah. But the point is they would have had to have done this on a massive scale, in my opinion. This, and my humble opinion here, to do the kind of damage that we saw on the days of the shutdown. So, and I gotcha. Said days because they were multiple. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they said on Twitter anyways, a organization, I guess I use the word loosely, called DERP, mm-hmm. that they're the ones who took credit for EA, for Origins. I don't know who actually did Steam. I'm
Steam
assuming
Valve.
It's the same. Yeah, I'm assuming it's the same, but I don't know. But anyways, Steam is obviously... Steam is obviously back up. Origins, I'm assuming, is back up. Actually, with Mass Effect 2, you have to log into the EA servers to verify your DLC. Mm-hmm. And it usually takes me a time or two to get in, but I am getting in, so I'm assuming Origin is back up. Maybe there's still a little bump in the way, but it is up and running. So, okay, Derp, you caused us some problems, but... You got your 15 minutes.
You know they went after supposedly target the Xbox Live, right?
Oh, did they?
Yeah. What was it? I'm sorry. Just give me half a second. But they targeted the Xbox Live service with the DDoS attack, the same one supposedly they used for Origin. Mm-hmm. And DERP claimed responsibility for it. But let's just say that it wasn't as... I believe the quote was, "We have yet to fire the Gabin laser beam. Xbox Live is being targeted with our botnet of refrigerators." Hmm. Was the actual quote, right? But as you can tell, Xbox One has not gone down. So
right.
Let's
right.
just say that Microsoft didn't have none of that mess. So,
yeah.
Hey, and you know, that's a bonus right there. I mean, you got to stop and think about it. They just spent a buttload of money supposedly increasing their ability to handle this kind of traffic. Well, what about external threats?
Right. Well, you know, it's one of those things also. If you expected, if there was ever a company that you expected to be...
Dirt proof?
Protected. Yeah, dirt proof. I would assume Microsoft would be the company. But, you know, that's just a bigger target you paint on yourself, I guess. All right, moving on. Jay's got some information. CES is going on right now, and I believe he has some infos on the Steam Box.
For those of you who don't know, the Consumer Electronics Showcase is a big thing now since everybody's what? I guess you could say that, Gray, that everybody's become snotty about their showcases ever since
right.
E3. You know, I mean, it used to be this thing, you know, that everybody went out there and watched scantily clad women and new, you know, software roll out, get a lot of swag and come home. Now it's kind of clinical, but CES is the big show at this time of the year. And believe it or not, they're releasing some pretty awesome stuff. Steambox, which everybody knows is a generic term for any Linux-based box running the Steam iOS that they're going to release here shortly. And you wouldn't believe the amount of people that have, or the amount of companies that have signed on for this. Here we go. Full dozen third-party hardware companies that will be making Steam machines are including, and I quote, Alienware, Falcon Northwest, iBuyPower, CyberPower PC, Origin PC, Gigabyte, MaterialNet, WebHallen, Alternate, Next, Zotac, and Scan. Now, for any of our people out there, you're going to instantly recognize Alienware, Falcon Northwest, Zotac, and iBuyPower, and CyberPower.
Right.
Huge names. And that goes from the top to the middle to even some of the low-end machines that you expect to pay to game on. But with those names neck deep inside of iOS, I expect that the Steam Box, when it finally does come out as a marketable entity, is going to have not only a huge range of price choices, but some power choices as well. And I'm really kind of excited about this. I can't wait till it hits rubber to road. But we're seeing a whole bunch. iBuyPower will be showing theirs off at the as the Steam Machine prototype at CES 2014, and I'm not lying to you. I wish I was there, other than, you know, the girls in the bathing suits.
All right. Now CES, that's a trade show technically, right? Not a convention.
Yes, it is, but I mean, like I said, this stuff's become so, what's the word you want to look for, hybrid?
Yeah.
That although you have to be invited, everybody in the world claims to be part of the press.
Right.
So that they can get a press pass in.
Right.
And just to get their fingers and, you know, on their stuff, so.
Well, you know, and maybe, I don't know, I used to live for stuff like this, and you know, freaking Comcast, when you close down G4, and you know, maybe I'm seeming too mainstream or whatever, but I used to love watching these shows, trade shows, conventions on G4. They had great coverage. They had some okay personnel, employees that worked there that could cover the stuff. So I used to just live in front of my TV when E3 or Comic-Con or CES was going. But after they've shut down the channel, I just haven't really had the desire to just watch hours of streaming video about CES anymore. Like I said, maybe I'm just showing my age, but...
Sony did that Comic-Con stuff, didn't they? The days of Comic-Con?
Was it Sony?
Yeah, I think it was Sony PlayStation had it where you could watch it as a free download.
Yeah, they did, and so did someone else. I think Livestream had cameras set up all over the place you could watch. I mean, a bunch of people do it. I just, sometimes the quality's a little crappy. And I don't know, I'm just being too, you know, kids get off my lawn-ish. I don't know.
Shoot your BB gun at him, it's all good.
That's right. All right, we've also got some news from CES concerning PlayStation's streaming service. Jay, you want to lead off on that?
Sure, I'll knock this one up. The streaming service, for people who don't know, PlayStation 4, again, we talked about a few episodes ago how they had invested a lot into their system to try to make it comparable to the Xbox Live, which people have to pay for now. So now, if you're going to buy your P4 service, what are you going to get? And so they said, well, we're giving you the Now streaming service. Now, what they do basically is say, okay, we're going to let you play games that you could play on PS2 and PS3 on the PS4 and stream it directly, in other words, purchase it, off of our system. I haven't heard about rentals yet, but you will also be able to watch TV directly off the system. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are like, well, so what? Let me tell you, so what? GameStop, who is an $8 billion a year company, the day they announced this at CES, fell 8.4% in their stock. That's a significant hit in the stock of GameStop. So this was kind of the torpedo game. I don't think GameStop really expected this, and Sony has not really been trumpeting it. They talked about it a little bit here and there, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. Well, this is kind of a big deal. So with everybody moving towards online content, online services, online delivery, you're going to be seeing a lot less brick-and-mortar stuff like GameStop. So get your games while you can at the prices you can. So
yeah, and also on the rental, the games, they're also going to include some PS2 titles.
Yep, and yep. Also, you don't necessarily have to be a console owner to access any of this.
Right.
You can access it on a TV, a phone, a tablet. That's very important stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, hey, I don't own a PS4, but I'll use the PS4 Sony service, and they're still getting that revenue, buddy. So that's impressive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just exactly that. You know, maybe you can't swing a PS4, but you can spend the $50 and get a controller. You know, get the service, get the controller. You know, if your TV has USB ports or whatever, boom,
bing,
there you go.
That's
there
it.
There you go. That's awesome. That's really neat. They said, did you mention the Vita? They're also going to do stuff for the Vita.
No, I didn't. Go for it. No, yeah. Talk about that.
No, man. No, just that they're doing the consoles, and they will include Vita support as well.
Oh,
for
Vita.
The 10 of you out there that actually own the Vita.
11, I want one.
You know, I have a friend who has the, she doesn't have the Vita, but she has the PSP. And she still plays it. She likes it. But, you know, frankly, if you're listening to our podcast, then 99% sure you are familiar with the Indoor Kids. Camille and Emily, they have a Vita. And for the most part, I don't think they like it.
Ouch.
Well, they like it, I think. It's just the game support isn't there. I mean, I think, I guess Sony just said, oh, no, here comes, you know, the 3DS from Nintendo. Let's push another handheld out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the game support just isn't there.
Well, Xbox just kicked the dog snot out of them with the Xbox Glass. So,
right.
I mean, if
right.
you have a tablet or a Surface, I think they're called Surfaces with the Windows 8. Or the Windows 8 RT, is that what it is? So if you've got that, it integrates directly with your game while you're playing it, and then you can walk away from it and still get access to all of the Xbox material on Windows. So I hate to say it, but you know, the Vita may have seen its you know, what do you call it, apex of its creation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For those, like you said, for those of you who own it, you know, hey, awesome. But I still wouldn't mind having one though.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen some neat games on there. I really have. You know, they're games that are reimaginings of the old PS1 versions, but there are some cool things on there. But I have my 3DS. Which reminds me, that's something I forgot to mention when I've been playing. I got Zelda Link Between Worlds for Christmas. I totally forgot to mention that.
So. Did you get the gold 3DS?
No. I already had a 3DS. The XL. I already had one. But I got the game. I did get the game.
And, I'm going to have to talk with Santa about that.
And if you played Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo, pick this game up. It's very similar. There are a few different mechanics. The story is a little different. There's a few extra little things here and there to do. It's not, you know, I initially said that they were pushing it as a upgraded graphics version of A Link to the Past. Well, it's not. It's a new story, new mechanics, new weapons, new abilities. So it is very cool. I'm not all that far into it, to be honest with you, but it is pretty cool. And that just totally reminded me of it. Otherwise, I would have mentioned it at the beginning.
Oh, no, that's super duper. I actually, I was kind of hoping you'd have gotten that. I hadn't heard from you on it, and I was just like, dang, man, I hope you got that.
Right. Alrighty, Jason's got something to tell us about a Kickstarter, right, that you found that you wanna get behind and support.
Well, actually, there's a lot of people. This is kind of I don't want to call us a Kickstarter. They went to Kickstarter because it's just, for those of you who don't know, there's a game called Repopulation. Anyone who's listened to this podcast or show, for any amount of time whatsoever knows that I'm an SWG old school player. Star Wars Galaxies, used to love it. Talk about it for hours, but that's not why we're here. It was the depth of play that I loved about that game. Any game that has depth of play not just set up for, you know, which gun I'm going to use or how many points I need to buy the next level. I'm talking about where you can just take the basic game mechanics and spend lots of time farming or creating or crafting. To me, that's a world that's had a lot of love put into it and a lot of thought. I want a game that has a lot of thought placed into it. Don't put me on rails. Give me an open world and give me something to do, and I promise you I'll keep myself busy for hours, right? So here's the thing. Repopulation. They started with a crafting system. It wasn't just a combat system, although that is incredibly rich as well. They started with, hey, we're going to open up the world to a crafting system. And believe it or not, a lot of the same developers and people who were involved in depth with some of the old creation systems that you've heard of, Eve, Star Wars Galaxies, things like that, have contributed of their time and of their creative ideas and juices to the people who are developing this game. It is a literal spiritual successor to the games that I've mentioned. So it's a sandbox game, and anyone knows what sandbox games is, meaning that they set the world in motion and they back away and let the everyone else take control and build the economy, build the whole architecture of the world. They just set up the framework. Well, this has been going on for, I guess, daggum near 2 years now that I've been keeping up with it. Probably almost three now, but 2 years that I know of. And they just released it to Kickstarter. And what's the other one called? The other one that you go to get community donations. Greenlight. Is that the name of it?
Greenlight is what Steam does.
That's for film. Yeah. It might be both. Yeah, I think it might be both, because I think on the Repopulation newsletter they specifically said both. Kickstarter is where I went. Because people are a lot more familiar with it. But Greenlight and Kickstarter, check them out. Look for Repopulation the Sandbox. But what we're looking at here, Kotaku, massively IGN, they're all rating this game already as the game to watch. They're saying, look, if you haven't seen this, go see it, take a look, get your money in. But just so y'all know, I'm sorry, I keyed right off, didn't I? Just so y'all know, we have 786 backers. They only wanted to pledge 50,000. They've already hit 61,743 with 19 days left.
Nice.
So there's a lot of pledge things on here, but like I said, if you want to go check it out, it's on Kickstarter.com. We'll have this link up in our show notes. You would not believe the features, the nations, engagement mission, skill sets, crafting. I mean, it's all already done. We've been beta testing this in a closed beta for a long time. So we're looking at their stretch goals started at 60K and go all the way up to 1 million. And at 1 million, they get space flight. That's a ramp up goal, but I'd like to see that, but I truly expect probably about 200K is what I'm looking at. I'm thinking they'll make 100K easy, but 200K is what I was hoping they'd get to, and that's modifiable user interface, PvP gladiator arena for NPC and player cities. Remember, we're talking about persistent goals here, persistent cities. This is not a thing like WoW, where, you know, they run over to one city and everybody takes over and then the next day they reset everything, you know. Right. But I just, like I said, I hope people get behind this, because, I mean, I know it's going to become a game, but I'd love to see it become a huge AAA title that really punches something like WoW, or, you know, as much as I love SWTOR, I want to see this, or even WildStar, because WildStar's getting a lot of this, you know, everybody's wanting it. And then when they came out with, subs, they said, no, we don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Look, I would sub to this game in a heartbeat if they get half of what they promised. And I think that they can come through with all of their promises. And that's all I got to say.
Hmm. Very cool. Also, right before the show, I received my most recent Elder Scrolls ESO Online, ES Online, beta invite. So if you have been in any of the betas for ESO, check your email. I received mine at 20 after 5 this evening, my time, Central. So it starts Friday at 6 p.m. and goes through Sunday at midnight. So there again, check your email for that invite. It looks like on this one, they're not so much focusing on stress test of the servers, but it says you'll be able to create a character in any of the three alliances, which I don't believe we've been able to do, or at least I haven't been able to do. lay siege to your enemies on the battlefield, and much more. So there you go. Check those email if you want to play some ESO this weekend, beta-wise. Oh, and if anyone out there listening is or knows someone who works for WildStar, I've applied for the beta. It would be super nice to get a beta invite, guys.
I would not just punch WildStar in the face, I promise.
Right. Yeah, so let's get that ball rolling.
That's awesome. All right,
we're pretty much finished with our news. This is usually where we go to geeky stuff, but, well, it's the holidays, and not too much is going on. So,
I don't know. I mean,
kind of light on the geeky stuff.
I know. We didn't have any time. I played with my family. I didn't have time to paint anything. I've got an ogre army sitting in the back. I've got, you know, a half-built army of, what are those guys called? The Legion of the Damned sitting in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was digging through trying to find Christmas tree ornaments, and I found a Land Raider and an old Immolator.
Wow.
Sisters of Battle Immolator that I had sitting in the back. Now, the Sisters of Battle is completely painted, but the Land Raider was just kind of sitting there. I was like, what? I've got a Land Raider?
Was it like the like maybe third edition Land Raider?
It's like the one with the sliding doors and the dual heavy bolter on the top there.
Yeah,
and it had Mechanicus symbols on it, so I don't know.
Well, you know, the original Land Raiders just don't look anything like.
Oh no, yeah, no,
no, that looked like a door wedge or something.
Yeah, you're talking about like the old Rogue Trader stuff.
Yeah.
That would have been wicked cool. Now, I did not find anything like that. But that being said, I do have some old Rogue Trader books I did find in that same stash. I was like, man, I found an old Cyberpunk first edition box set that I still had sitting back there. So
nice.
That's about as geeky as I can get. Finding old first edition Cyberpunk was pretty awesome. That was, you know, I actually met the R. Talsorian. What's his name? The guy who wrote for R. Talsorian. At a con one time. He's the coolest guy. Air Force brat and... when he produced, he lost all his cred with me when he produced the most recent version of Cyberpunk. I'm like, what were you doing, man? He dressed up Ken dolls. Have you seen it?
No.
Uh-uh. He released the new Cyberpunk rules for, like, I guess version 3 is what they want to call it. But instead of using, you know, any type of art or even using action figures, he actually had full-size G.I. Joe dolls with stuff glued on them and put them in, like, homemade, you know, cyber. I was like, oh my God, dude.
He put this in the rule book?
Yes, it's in the rule book. I almost cried, man. But there you go. Well, so that's geeky, right?
Oh my gosh, that's not geeky. That's... I don't even know what that is. That's bad. All right, then. We're going to wrap it up, boys and girls. So Blacklace will have our contact information on the way out. You can find me on Steam and the PlayStation Network and Raptor, R-A-P-T-R, under Teletech, T-E-L-E-T-E-C-H, 77062. Just shoot me a friend request and I'll add you. You can see how much time I spend on the computer playing whatever.
Yeah, you can find me on Steam under J-A-Y-S-Y-N-N, Jason. And under Raptor for Neuroshade, N-E-U-R-O-S-H-A-Y-D. And I will do the same thing, and you can laugh at me as mine scores as well.
Also, be sure to join Jason and I in SWTOR if you're looking for a Republic guild. We play on the Shadowlands server under Knights of Hollowsweet. If you're looking for a guild in the Secret World, we have a Hollowsweet in-game presence. Just look for Beyond the Veil under any of the three factions. Star Trek Online, Tribbles or Targs, and Ecstasy, depending on whether you want to play Federation or Klingon. Yep, be sure to check out any of our other shows on holosuitemedia.com. We have a show for the World of Warcraft Hearthstone beta that's currently going on. That's Blacklace and her husband, Autumn's Bane. Blacklace, who does our intros and outros. I guess with that, we'll wrap it up. You guys take care. Have a good one. We'll see you in game.
Stay warm.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Hollowsuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at The Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.